We'll continue with one of the final talks of Nisargadatta. This is from January 11th, 1981. A questioner asks, "The spiritual experiences which I have, are they something which should not be there? What are these?" Maharaj says, "It's all entertainment. You are present here. Is your body not the result of someone's entertainment? Isn't that why everyone's here? Someone had a good time, or maybe a bad time. But did they have you in mind? Were you invited to the party? But is your arrival here something serious, or just a mistake? From the perspective of the phenomenal plane, your birth is meaningless. Regardless of the intentions of those who came together to produce the bodily genetic material." So Maharaj is saying, why take seriously your phenomenal existence as a body when it has no essential significance? So long as you know that the experiences are only appearances in consciousness, it is all right. So now he's referring to this person's visions, their intuitions, their paranormal phenomena. He's saying, don't take them seriously either. They're just appearances in consciousness, just as you are. Go to what is real. So, Maharaj goes on, understanding is not a matter of time. If you really perceive the truth, it is simple and quickly grasped. The conscious presence depends on the body, and the body is nothing but the sperm and ovum. So where is this you? The body is just an instrument that says, I am. It's an announcer. Presently, you think you are the body-mind, and whatever concepts you have collected are flowing out of that mind. When you begin your spiritual practice, you reject the body-mind, and you say, no, I am not that. And then you come to the I am only, without words, the I am that is prior to the conception of this body, that is not dependent on someone else's entertainment, that is an absolute beingness that is transcendent of otherness. So when you reach that point of the I am that is without words, then you are nothing because you are not that appearing entity, and yet you are everything because you are consciousness that contains all of your world. You are not confined to the body. Because of the instrument of the body, that feeling of consciousness is there, but I, the Absolute, am not that. So there's a differential imperience that is made at a certain point in meditation that is the negation of the ego. The ego chatters, it's identified with the body, and its consciousness is in that superficial circuit of what one has learned, one's conditionings, one's experiences, traumas, tendencies to repeat, all of that. But then there's a negation. No, I am not that. I'm an unchanging awareness that is not confined or limited to that circuit of thoughts and images. He goes on, having stabilized in the I am without thoughts, the next step is to be in a position to observe the consciousness, to observe even the I am and all the play that is happening in the consciousness, just to understand it. Attachment to the body and to the consciousness is very strong. To get rid of it is very difficult. So he's speaking of his own experience, that there is a struggle involved in disidentifying from the body, in reaching a point where you do not care about the fate of the body, and where the body's sickness, in his case, and pain does not disturb you, because you are not identified with it. And it is that state that one must reach if one is to be liberated from the matrix. But it is a very difficult achievement and requires tremendous focus and perseverance to reach that point of the realization of the self that has never been born, never been identified with the body. And it is that self that knows a deeper silence than the ego mind can ever reach. The birth principle, this is his own concept, the chemical around which the body formation takes place, has no form or design and actually didn't exist. So that core of the ego's identity that is the result of the conditions of one's birth and one's reception as the consciousness, the light enters the fetus in the womb of the mother, creates a neurochemical complex that is the beginning of the proto-ego's development. But it has no form. There's no sense of what you look like yet as a fetus. You have no identification marks. You are simply a consciousness with certain reactions that are chemical in nature. So he goes on, that non-existing thing suddenly came into existence. Suddenly there is a vivification of protoplasm and an identification of consciousness with this bit of matter that comes alive. But what is the validity of its existence, of this fetus that then is born as a baby, it becomes an infant and grows? It is an apparition only. It cannot be the truth of what you are. And that's why I dare talk like this. This is all a big hoax, a big fraud, created out of nothingness. Can you create something out of nothing? Get what he's saying. You really have no ontological being as an entity in the world. What you are is something entirely other than what the apparition is that you've identified with. But that identification is fraudulent. It's a hoax. You have never been created or born or designed or have any identity or any difference from anyone else. There's nothing special about you. Your identity is the same as a face that you might see in a cloud. And then the cloud shifts and another face, another form shows up, another lifetime. But are any of the faces real? You identify with one face in the cloud and it disappears and another form arises. Are you any of those forms that you see in the cloud? All of us are faces in the cloud of unknowing, but it's only the cloud that is real. So, whatever I said is securely planted in that birth principle of yours. You cannot extract it. In due course, it will proliferate into knowledge. So he's saying these words that come out of the cloud of unknowing will touch you because you are part of the same cloud, and it will create a face in that cloud. But don't identify with it. It will proliferate into knowledge, into more faces and forms and implications and shadings as the cloud evolves. But only the cloud itself, that unchanging presence, has reality. So, he says, I don't want life, even for a moment. But in that momentary life, there are so many lives. In that cloud, so many faces, so many potentialities, so infinite a possible permutation of consciousness to form yourself as a being. And yet none of it is real. Only the potency itself, not its actuality. Do not define yourself with one limited moment in the evolution of that cloud of consciousness that is present all through time, all through space, and has no differentiated identity. So, and it's only a moment, because time itself is unreal. So Nisargadatta ends by saying, I am not afraid of death. With death, the imperfection is removed. There's imperfection in any bodily form, in any bodily presentation, charitra, performance of one's capacities. But once there is the death of that face in the cloud, that form that appeared, then imperfection is removed. So death itself is the perfection of one's being. What remains after the stigma of imperfection is gone through the passage through death, that is total perfection. But you must pass through death consciously. You must remain conscious when the ego dies, after the body dies. You must go through death one and death two, and then you will find the eternal life. But even the life of the soul that is beyond the death of the body and the death of the conscious ego, comes the death of the soul itself into the absolute. And it's only after death three that one is free. So, there is no guarantee, he says, that I will meet with you tomorrow, because I may be dead. But the reality is that there is no separation at all between you and me, because we are all one. Do not even imagine any separation, and you will know what you are. Because we are all part of that same cloud of unknowing. And once we stop seeking to know, once we stop struggling, once we stop identifying with some special part of that cloud and dissolve into its totality, we realize we are everything and everyone, and have never been born, and that there is no death, and that there only is the absolute presence of infinite, free, blissful consciousness, and that is the self. And we can know that self and abide in that blissful, luminous cloud of infinite knowledge, infinite love, infinite beauty, infinite permutations and implications of meaning. We can abide in it and know that's what we are. And that cloud can shine, can rain, can evaporate, can change in any way, and yet nothing happens whatsoever, because the changeless self has no appearance whatsoever. Nothingness, absolute, eternal nothingness, is the condition for realizing you are all. May you know the peace that comes of being one with the cloud of unknowing and free of seeking faces or being found by forms, haunted by images, and free of all of the thoughts and mental movements that agitate the cloud. But may you know the peaceful floating in the void that is the mark of the blissful self in liberated formlessness. And may you know the deeper peace of the nothingness before the formation of the cloud, the unborn, the uncreated self with no apparition, no location, no time or space or change, that absolute that is formless, empty, and yet all-containing, all-pervading, all-encompassing, all-potentiating. And may you know the absolute blissful peace of realizing you're the space in which the cloud arises and dissipates, and whatever changes happen, whatever precipitates into and out of space, you remain eternally the very essence of liberation, the very essence of ecstatic consciousness, the very essence of the light whose shining rays project worlds into being and withdraw that being back into the void. And yet you are never changing, ever present, always creating, always blissful.